We all have every reason now to visit Youngstown, Ohio, and it has everything to do with Hannah Ferguson, the owner and founder of The Dope Brand, and our guest this week on Cider Chat. Hey, 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 my name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. We'll be heading to our featured conversation with Hannah Ferguson of the Dope Cider House and Winery in Youngstown, Ohio. But first, a wee bit of news out and about in Ciderville. Ciderganza. Have you heard about this? Well, it's being hosted, I think the first time ever, by Ross & Wye Cider & Perry Company in Ross-on-Wye in the UK. And it's happening this April, the 15th through the 18th. And you want to, you know, get your reservations in. They're selling tickets for different tastings. And the Yew Tree Pub is right there on site next to the Broom Farm, which is where the orchards are for Ross-on-Wye Cider & Perry Company. Of course, later on in the summer, they have the Ross Cider Fest, but this is kind of a cool early spring thing they're doing. And let me tell you, these folks know how to celebrate cider and Perry. And if you stay the whole weekend into Monday, you get to hang out and do the very Perry Monday event. So, dang, that is so tempting. Anyways, I'll put a link in the show notes to this because it's just kind of come into my little news thread here, and I'm super stoked. So tip of the hat to all those folks, and raise your hand if you want to go to a Ciderganza. I could see you, Ciderville. I see everybody raising their hand. Right on. Okay, more good news coming up. Also, some news coming in from the UK. I have heard that CraftCon, which is an annual conference for cider makers and enthusiasts, will be online once again this year. I think that's pretty definite. I will keep you posted. I was able to attend the online conference last year, and I actually spoke on it, moderated a panel with both Adam Wells, Kath Potter, and Nikki Kong. Adam Wells is a cider writer. Kath Potter is a Pommelier, and Nikki Kahn owns Cat in the Glass, a cider online bottle shop. So who knows what CraftCon will bring this year, but that's pretty exciting. Stay posted and keep an eye out for that. And while we're at it, thinking about all the wonderful cider events that are coming online, you might also be thinking about, geez, I can't wait to make some cider, which it's just so much fun to do. And I want to say recently, I had a still cider that I bottled in 2018. And when I bottled it, it wasn't really tasty. You know, I just kind of like put it in this little basket, and actually a woven basket, and forgot about it. And recently, I was making a little shrimp scampi, which requires some dry white wine. I pulled out that still bottle that had been in my barrel, and I could have drank the whole thing myself. It was so good. It was perfect as the base for the shrimp scampi because you sprinkle a little bit in the pan there. Oh my goodness, I just was like gaga over it. So look, you know, this is a time of year to be thinking about making cider and preparing ahead and getting your script set so that you know once the apples and pears start ripening, you know what direction you're going. And the folks that could help you with that in terms of yeast is our sponsor, Fermentis. They have yeast to make dry ciders, sweet, fruity, or crisp ciders, and the ability to help you showcase the apple and apple blends that you are using. Yep, that's right. Fermentis has the right yeast for your favorite cider. Learn more about how Fermentis can improve the quality of your cider fermentation and for the latest on their exciting new product releases by going to Fermentis.com. And I will be recording an episode with one of the techs at Fermentis all about yeast. If you have a question that you need some answers to or something that occurred in a cider that you made in the past, send it my way to info@ciderchat.com, and I'll get that question into the tech and answer it for you.
Ah, you don't see that every day.
No, I suppose you don't. But then again, this is Cider Chat, and that is how we roll. And because I can, I think I should mention once again that I lead Totally Cider Tours. And one of the tours that I'm looking at for this fall is Normandy and Brittany. And I should be starting to roll out some of the specs on that tour coming up. So save the last 2 weeks of September. We have to work it around the makers and all the different, like, you know, protocols that go on as we get this cider tour settled. So hang tight if you are interested and you want to be put on the to-know list, which gets out sooner than later. Send an email to info@ciderchat.com for a trip to France this fall to drink cider, Poiret, Calvados, and Pommeau. Once again, we're going to hear from our sponsor, Schrammel, which is a food processing and cider making equipment company. So this is important for any cider maker who is coming online or is currently a commercial maker looking to up their game or just to understand the difference between a belt press and a pneumatic press. So in last week's episode, we were talking about that, the differences between a belt press, which is rollers and a belt, and a pneumatic press, which is a cylinder, a horizontal cylinder, and it has a membrane that expands. And with the juice, you get a big difference. With a belt press, you're going to get more solids. With a pneumatic press, you're going to get less solids. And it's a different kind of pressure on whatever you're pressing there, the apple or the pear. It's allowed to do very gentle pressing, and you get this really thick layer of pulp in a pneumatic press, which actually acts like a filter. So with fruits that are soft or difficult to press, you're going to be able to extract more from them. So that's kind of a win-win for a cider maker when you think about it. This week, we're going to be talking to Dennis Keebler, who is the marketing director, once again, from Schrammel, all about the flexibility between a belt press and a pneumatic press.
Besides the juice, we all like to stay flexible in our production, right?
Absolutely.
While the belt press is simple to operate and is constantly giving us the same quality of juice, there is not much flexibility. We can only set the pulp thickness, the belt speed, and the belt tension pressure.
All right, so I got it. Very little flexibility with the belt press because you can only set the pulp thickness, the belt speed, and belt tension pressure. Do I have that right?
Yes. Some words are really hard for us to pronounce.
I'm impressed with your English. I mean, some English words are even difficult for me to say.
Thanks, Ria.
No problem. So the belt press, you can only set the pulp thickness, the belt speed, and belt tension pressure. But with the pneumatic press, I think there's a lot of flexibility. In fact, you said that there is endless flexibility.
Right. The pressing cycles are controlled via program with endless parameters and options. The system also allows us to macerate the pulp before pressing.
All right, so the pneumatic press has a program, it has all these different options, and it allows you to macerate the pulp before pressing. So I suspect that if you want to separate the free run from press juice, or even press in an oxygen-free atmosphere, or do any of the other processes that really get you the best juice possible.
The pneumatic press got you covered.
Well, alrighty. If you out there in Ciderville want to find out more about the products that Schrammel makes, go to schrammel.com. That's spelled S-R-A-M-L.com. It's time now to go to our featured conversation with Hannah Ferguson of Dope Cider House and Winery. She's going to be bringing us into her backstory and how her family and friends have played such a big role. And why you want to be going to Youngstown, Ohio. I know I do. I want to hang out with Hannah more and taste her ciders and just be in the scene. So grab a glass and join this chat with Hannah Ferguson of The Dope Cider House and Winery in Youngstown, Ohio.
My stepmom, her cousins have been making cider probably 40 years, maybe more.
Right.
And, I mean, not cider, sorry, wine,
okay.
About 40
that's
years.
That's all good.
And so, and that's kind of how I like picked it up. It was like one day, I used to live in Orlando for about 6 years. So my dad would like, if he came to visit me, he would bring me some homemade wine. Loved it, because that's like...
From Orlando.
Yeah,
What kind of wine would he bring up?
Oh, well, I lived in Orlando, so he would bring it from Ohio to me there.
All right.
And so I just fell in. So when I moved back home, I was kind of like bored. I was like, I needed a hobby. I wanted something to do. And they were like, hey, we'll show you the ropes. So I started off with like 10 gallons, 2 5-gallon carboys, one red, one white. I did a Riesling and I did a Shiraz. And then it kind of like, once that was finished and the bottles were gone, I was like, hey, I need to make more.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I joke around and say that I became that cool kid at the party where I came with people, brought whatever they wanted to bring, but I was the one bringing homemade wine. Mm-hmm. And then when people found out like, hey, you actually made that, it was just like, if I didn't bring any, people were like, what's going on? So
mm-hmm.
like now with cider, I brought a couple of those Growler Works, growlers, but
yeah.
They hold the carbonation, keep it cold and stuff like that. So now I can take that to people's, and they're like, then they're looking at the actual system like, oh, it's like it's pouring from a draft. So that's like mm-hmm. another cool thing that everyone gets to experience. So I enjoy that. It's like I'm either known as like the wine girl, the cider girl, the beer girl. So what they don't know what I'm bringing.
You are
to the
fermenter.
Yeah.
You are the fermenter.
Yeah, they don't know what I'm gonna bring.
Crosses all those borders there,
yes.
Which is great. And you're kind of an evangelist in a way for the fermentation, you know, trades, which is really awesome and educating. And it sounds like it's a role that suits you.
Yeah, it's funny because like from my background, people like, because you know, you go to school, you do everything right like you're supposed to do. You go to school,
What did you go to school for?
I went for undergrad. It's funny. I went to undergrad for sports management. So it was like a mixture of like sports and business. And then I never worked in that field. I went into like higher education. So I worked in higher education. And then I went back to school and got my master's. So I have my MBA. And so I got that in business. Then I went back to education. Like, so I worked in between like high school as well as college. So this is funny. And then like now this is, I stopped doing that when I started to work for the brewery. So I kind of quit that, took like, you know, like a big pay cut, you know, in a sense, and like to pursue something that I saw like I could see myself doing in the future, just learning the industry of craft, whether it's like wine, cider, beer, and I got the opportunity to, you know, to add on to to like my resume on that. So
yeah, wow, pretty multifaceted life here you got going on, but all going the same direction. I mean, with an MBA, you could kind of do anything with that.
Yes. Yeah. I used to tell people like, I was like, have you ever seen an unhappy barista? I joke around. I was like, I don't think I've ever seen anyone that was unhappy who made coffee. Like, so I was just like, that's kind of almost like how we are in this industry. Like, you love it. Like, it's like you're almost like truly invested in it, especially if you are behind the scenes and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The people that I've come across love what they do. Choose money or do you choose happiness? And then I felt more free and relaxed going with being happy than, you know, staying in corporate America. So
I could sense that. I could sense that. For all the listeners out there in Siderville sitting across here with Hannah, you know, she has this like kind of aura of like good energy. I, you know, immediately you can feel it. So keep on radiating it because we need that in the world for sure.
Thank you.
Obviously your family has really impacted you. Is there something in particular or a person or a group that you know, has kind of pushed you along in this path to kind of reach out into a world that, as a woman, as a black mm-hmm. woman, you know, kind of being out in the world, as a white woman, you know, it's rough. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can only imagine.
It has been probably just a combination of family and friends. And again, like, I consider, like, my friends my family. So yeah. It's been that, and they were honestly the influencers of me pursuing this. Like, I was just, like, again, like, this was this hobby. I was like, yeah, this is fun. I'm doing this in my basement. I'm doing this, like, in my apartment. I'm like, so, and they were like, no, you need to really see about doing this professionally. Mm-hmm. And then once you start doing the research, and then you see, like, again, as women, as me as a black woman, that we are not really in this industry like that, that you would think, like, maybe more would be. You quickly notice that this is a very male-dominated industry on all ends, all type of fermentation. So, again, it's, like, mm-hmm. super scary to go into it, but again, like, they encouraged me to do it, and I've been, again, working on this for probably, like, the past 5 years. So last year it became official when I signed the lease into the space. I'm leasing about a little close to 1,500 square feet from a brewery in Youngstown, Penguin City Brewing. They bought mm-hmm. an old mm-hmm. steel warehouse, mm-hmm. so it's about 30,000 square feet, and so this is all of our, this will be mine, obviously, in their first brick and mortar. They've been contract brewing for about 3-4 years now, so.
Are you sharing tanks?
No, I have my own.
You have your own?
Mm-hmm. So great. In Ohio, it's like you have to be
okay.
separate.
Okay.
So I have my own, and then they have the, I believe they're getting like a 20 barrel system. So it's like, so it's huge over there. So, but I, like, again, like, I've had I've lost a lot of money doing this. Like, you trust people when you go into something, and then I had somebody where I, like, signed, like, I had a lease, and then, and, you know, working, doing, like, small work on the space, and then all of a sudden, I found out that he sold the building. And then the only reason I found out that he sold the building is because the guy who bought the building, him and I had the same barber.
Oh, my goodness. It all comes down to the barber.
Yeah, it came down to the barber.
I love that.
So then my barber, who is one of my friends,
what
too,
up?
Who's like, him and his wife are very encouraging of
Whoa.
Me in this industry. He was like, so, I have something to tell you. Did you know? And I was like, Ooh. And I didn't. So that's where it was like, I ended up just getting out of that lease because it was like, because the person who had bought it was not going to renew my, you know, Miley. So
it's a heart attack moment.
So then that's where you get discouraged, and there's plenty of times that, like, I wanted to quit and just be like, all right, I'm just going back into, you know, corporate America. I'm just going to go back
that's
into higher education.
Fun.
Yeah, I was like, and so, and then, like I said, it just, and I think really at the time where I literally was like, I'm just selling all this stuff and, like, just going to give up, that's when one of the owners of Penguin City Brewing reached out to me and was like, hey, come see our space. I just thought, hey, come see the space, like, their open house. And she brought me into the space that I'm in, and she's like, hey, do you see yourself making wine and cider in here? Mm-hmm. And I looked at her, because, again, like, we knew each other from the industry, from me being a brewer there, but we never sat down and actually talked about mm-hmm. this is what I was pursuing, what I wanted to do. And it was mainly word of mouth from them. As soon as they signed the space, she was like, as soon as we announced that we bought this building, three people, I think, just reached out to them and said, hey, you need to talk to Hannah. And there she's like, why? Like, you know, and she didn't understand. And then they told her. And then she was just like, she's like, I instantly saw this space for you. She was like, because we weren't really going to do anything with it. Yeah. And so yeah. So
wow,
here we are.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Jeez. Talk about nail biters.
Yes.
So you have this space now, and where are you in that process getting up and rolling?
It's actually moving now, a little faster now. I think we're in like week 22, 23 of renovations, and the construction crew, they're actually doing everything at once, both sides at the same time. But our main holdup, we all ordered our equipment together. We went through like Deutsche Beverage, but everything has, we waited since October.
I know where this is going.
For
the
tanks to finally dock in California.
And it's just sitting there.
Yeah, and they were just sitting there for like 2-3 months waiting to dock. And then once they
until
fly,
I can, I like put on some swim gear.
I was like, do we need to go out there and just get it? And then when they finally docked, the next issue was trucks. So then we had to wait till the trucks. Oh, so my equipment finally, I bought four two barrel fermenters. So that's what I have in my space, and it's finally there. So now, like, the contractors are finishing up, like, putting my trench drains in, things like that, mm-hmm. and then they'll move the tanks over to my space, where I will at least be able to get, like, a temporary license to actually start making mm-hmm. until they finish, completely finished.
Are you going to be bringing in juice from an area and then processing mm-hmm. cider
yes.
all year round?
Yeah, it's a semi-local juice farm. They do a lot of grapes mainly. They're like a wine juice farm, but they also have an orchard too. So I kind of fell into them just based off of the that's where I get my my wine juice from. Oh. So they do everything there. They press it, everything, and I go get the fresh pressed juice. So it's definitely like a. I've had that relationship with them on like the home scale. So now that I'll be able to like, you know, purchase from them on a larger scale, which will be, it'll be amazing. Yeah.
And the game plan is you produce it on site with the brewery, Penguin Brewery, mm-hmm. right? And you'll be putting it into draft and selling it that way?
I will have a small tap room as well
nice.
That people can come in
great.
And sit and just, mainly starting off like kind of how they do self-distribution.
Yeah.
So, and like that, because I already have people who like, hey, as soon as you're ready, we have a tap space for you. So I hope that momentum stays that, because people have honestly, again, since I've signed the lease, it's been probably close to a year now, be a year at the end of this month that when I signed the lease. So hopefully that momentum is still within, but our area, Our local restaurants and small business owners, they're very supportive of local. If they can put local on draft, a lot of them would rather have local, because we have an amazing like bowling alley on the west side of our town called Westside Bowl, and I believe they only carry craft everything, and
Wonderful.
Majority of their draft space is only dedicated to mm-hmm. local breweries mm-hmm. on there. So it would be cool to have my cider, you know, next to mm-hmm. some of the craft breweries in our area. So
let's talk about Ohio. You're actually the first cider maker from Ohio on Cider Chat. So yeah, I'm stoked about that. That's really like, you know, feather in my cap. So that's cool. And the state itself, I know it has to be a very conservative state. Mm-hmm. Politically. And so I'm wondering about the area that you're in, and there's obviously state politics often deals with businesses differently than it does with people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just kind of curious, what has it been? You've always been from Ohio?
Always been from Ohio.
Always from Ohio,
yes.
Yeah. So what is the area like where Penguin is and Dope is situated? What's the community
as far
like?
As our community, as community as like people, us living there, the feedback and the encouragement has been amazing. Our city, Youngstown, has always been known as a steel town. So back in, I guess, 60s, 70s, when the steel mills were booming, Youngstown mm-hmm. was that city.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of since the fall of that, like our city is still trying to rebuild from that. And I think with the growth of like things like the local craft brewery scene, more and more small business entrepreneurs, is starting to it's just sad. You think like it's like been like at least another additional 50 years or so almost in between that, that we're starting to see some growth and some turnaround. Because again, like I just hear stories, like I don't know Youngstown, how my mom knew Youngstown when she moved there, or how like my aunts, my dad, things like that. I don't know that Youngstown. I know Youngstown after the, you know, the steel mills fell. And then when I say like the community, it's like, didn't I, when you mentioned politics, and that's kind of like the harder thing about it, the political aspect of our local government. Some people, he happens to be one of my good friends, but he's also like our first ward councilman. But he's a small business owner, he's an entrepreneur. He believes in supporting and building up small businesses to help our area grow. And then some others, they still believe in that, but in a sense, like that factory mentality, mm-hmm. where it's almost like if you can't hire 200 people at the same time, it's like, is it worth investing in you? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it's all kind of like that battle. It's like almost like a 50-50 like split locally. And as like we try, like we could be, our city could be and grow like Cleveland or like a Pittsburgh. We can be like these areas, but the difference between our area and those areas, like those areas truly have thousands of small business entrepreneurs that make up their economy.
And spot on. Yeah. Spot on.
So, and I'm hoping, like, we're hoping that there's a turnaround, because again, like everything that I've done, Penguin City's doing, the other local brewery in Youngstown is called Noble Creature. We've done on our own. It's
bootstrapping,
yeah,
right?
And we just laugh, and it's like sad, like that we sometimes think like if you came from out of state and you are like a business developer, like, you know, the red carpet is rolled out, mm-hmm. but when we're actually born and raised, this is our, and we want to stay there. Because it's easily, I've said this to other people before, I could have easily done this in Columbus, Ohio. I could have done it in Cleveland, but I wanted to be home, especially first,
sure,
you know?
Sure. So, oh, I like that attitude. I could see where you're going with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right on.
So it's just, that was my 5-year struggle is that I wanted to be in Youngstown. Youngstown had to be my first, mm-hmm. like, spot. It couldn't have been anywhere mm-hmm. else. And if the opportunities arise where I can branch off to, like, of course I would love to be in Cleveland as well, Columbus, those places too. But, yeah, so that's just a struggle for us. And I'm just hoping, us, especially, like, but the small business people, we try to stick together for each other. Mm-hmm. And help support that way. If we can't get, you know, the support from the city as much as we would like, we have the community. And a lot of people are like, hey, I saw you on the news. I saw this. I can't wait till you open. I'm going to come support you. And then again, it's like, it's another learning. Because again, like, in the Black community, cider is not, it's almost like not a non-existent. People don't know much about cider because either they think it's beer and they don't like beer, mm-hmm. so they don't want to try it.
What are folks drinking?
Mainly probably hard liquor.
Hard liquor?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's only so much of that
you could drink. And like in mixed drinks?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, mixed drinks,
yeah,
things like that.
Rum
but then
Coke
now it's
thing.
Like people are getting into, they're learning because they're seeing the diversity is being built around it, and even like saying like, hey, you brewed beer, you make wine, you do this, like it's starting to grow more,
yeah.
and people are curious to try things, and so I'm hoping the same with cider, to get people to just like, hey, come in and try it. And a lot of people are truly excited for it. And again, like it encourages me and it like motivates me more when I hear them saying like, hey, I can't wait till you open because I'll be there. even people who I know who don't drink. So it's just like, that's where I was like, I know I reached out to you one time. I was like, do you know anybody who knows how to make like a non-alcoholic cider? Just to, so I can have something on tap for them because they want to come and support. And and if I can have something there to offer them, then definitely I want to do that. So
no doubt. Yeah. So that's exciting. Yeah. There's opportunity, but you know, we're always kind of pushing up against government regs, and I think for Ohio in particular, and probably, and obviously as you stated out, Youngstown, there are some barriers to that, but mm-hmm. I have a feeling with you at the helm and kind of bringing it on, it's going to like really change. I'm feeling really hopeful about that.
I'm not afraid. My mom sometimes laughs and she's like, hey, you need, because when you get passionate, you get very emotional. And like, and my mom knows, like, I'm not afraid to like speak my mind about an issue. And I've mentioned it in several like city held meetings. And like, you know, it's just like, you just need to know. Like, I don't, it's like, we are also trying to build up our city. Like, we're not trying to take from it. Like, we are trying to build it up, and we just want the support of our local government who we vote for to support us, you know, as well.
Can you give Ciderville an idea of the makeup of Youngstown? What percentage is a black population?
Youngstown is probably 85-90% black.
85,
inner city, 95? Inner city, because we have quite a few suburbs. At one point, Youngstown, again, like when the steel mills were booming, we were at a population of like 100,000, maybe 100,000 plus people living in the city. Now Youngstown is, we're about 64,000 people living in the city, in the inner city of Youngstown. And that, of that 60,000 or so, is probably 85-90% black. Then you have our, you know, Hispanic community, things like that, and then white community. And then pretty much like a lot of and I'm not sure even if that's counted, as we have YSU, our local university, it's on campus. And I don't think those students or anything may not be counted.
It's so easy to be in their little bubble, isn't it?
Because it is like they are in their own little bubble, you say, like YSU.
But they want to come out, get your cider. I'll tell you that
I'm
right
hoping
now.
So, because like, again, like downtown, it's almost, our city is investing in connecting the downtown to the university, because the university is literally probably two streets up from downtown, the main street of downtown, which is Federal Street. You go up two blocks and you're on campus. So you have they're building that connection. Again, I was like, and I can appreciate that, like, because sometimes, like, a lot of cities are, their universities are probably like the heart of it. And our president of our university is Jim Tressel, and we saw the things that he did at Ohio State as a coach. And he's making that impact for Youngstown. And he's, I joke around and say, when you go on campus, it looks like a mini Ohio State from some of the things that they're building and adding on to it. So it definitely could be, we want it to be a destination location where we are. We're like on the east end. We're the east end of Federal Street, so it's being developed where it's myself, Penguin City Brewing, then across the street from us is a business called the Youngstown Flea, where the owner, Derek McDowell, brings different makers in, and they have their makers market. He does it once a month when the weather's nice.
Great.
But he also bought a giant old warehouse. So looking to hopefully he has that, then hopefully looks that to have that like all year round for
Fantastic.
That space. So
I wonder if it's, we're recording this in Richmond, Virginia right now, and there's up the road from us 2 miles is Scott's Addition, where the, you know, it's become like the libation area of Richmond, right? But it is kind of separate from Jackson War, you know? Like, if it wasn't COVID right now, I'd be at the Speakeasy and the Hippodrome. I'd be like hanging out there. So I have a feeling that sounds a little bit similar to Youngstown. There is these these separate neighborhoods, yes. which, you know, mm-hmm. every city has that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I also get the sense that cider could be the equalizer, in this case, for Youngstown, because you're working on a product that has history in the Black community going way back, right? Mm-hmm. That is really unknown and not really well documented, but it's yes. there. In my eyes, and, you know, let's call for what it is, it's kind of like a white drink,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, mainly white people and young people are, you know, drinking that and have access to it. But it seems like what you're doing here is really kind of like equalizing the field and being able to draw on folks that maybe there'd be some crossover in a way
yeah.
and understanding, which is just a beautiful thing.
Definitely, definitely. It's like, it's one of the things that I'm, again, passionate about is making these spaces more diverse. Mm-hmm. And it's needed. And you honestly, you feel the difference when you go into a space and you're not the only one.
you
know, you feel a bit more comfortable. You feel a little less guarded.
Totally.
And then you can take the whole experience in more. And then with our city, it's like, a lot of us, like, I'll be 40 this year in the next couple months, and it's just like, I remember my childhood, like, I remember eating grapes in my aunt's backyard, because she had, like, just a random grape vine back there, and we would eat the grapes as kids, like, playing in the backyard, and then I remember, like, going to, like, my cousins, to their grandmother's, and she had apple trees, like, she had
an
apple tree in her backyard. So it's like, remember these things. And then yeah. I feel like something got lost, like somebody accidentally mowed over my aunt's grapevine. So then the grapes were gone. Then, you know, I think people didn't appreciate yeah. what we had, that natural, like when we were just in that last session and people were talking about the crab trees and different things like that. Like now I wonder, like, what type of apple tree was that
mm-hmm.
that was in mm-hmm. my cousin's grandmother's backyard. But then a friend yeah. of mine
yeah.
actually has her and her husband, and my barber, they have two apple trees in their yard. So actually they were like, they had called me down there this summer. They were like, look at all these apples. And I was like, looking, I was just like, oh, I wonder what they are. And it was like, I'm looking forward to possibly next year, just picking them all and just see what, mm-hmm. what comes up, because they have like two apple trees, and then they have like a, I believe like a cherry tree. And I did not know cherries were on a tree. I was like, I don't know where I thought cherries grew, but
that is so cute.
Yeah,
I
was like, I didn't know where they grew, but I didn't know it was a tree. But
you're not alone. Yeah. You're not alone. So, it's okay.
So things like that, like we had natural. This stuff was just in normal backyards,
yeah.
and like so. I'm looking forward to bringing that back. I even had someone reach out to me and say, hey, I have hops in my backyard. I don't know what they are. I don't know what kind they are.
Cool.
Can you come check? They just grow and they die because, you know, hops, you have to string up. They need to grow up. I was like, oh, we can maybe figure that out next year. Then I'm like, I know nothing about growing anything. I was like, I try to keep a house plant alive.
Yeah, but hops is,
yeah.
you know, it's not that difficult to
yeah.
grow hops. And if obviously it survived
yeah.
probably generations.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm listening to you, I hear this story often in neighborhoods throughout the U.S. I think U.S. really has that because we're kind of finding our soul in cider a
mm-hmm.
bit, you know, in a way that we hadn't before. So you go into a city, like in New York City now, people didn't realize there's like all these apple trees all over the place. And then the community's like foraging for apples,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe there's some quince bushes in Youngstown just waiting to be discovered.
Yeah.
And they are. They're always these amazing members of like the palm family. They're mm-hmm. all just hanging out and been there all along.
Yeah, it's funny because like someone, like I said, you find stuff on the side of the road like all the time. Like you'd be like, what is this fruit? And I think one of the sessions, someone mentioned like the fruit pawpaw. And
yeah.
I think I first discovered it in one of the breweries. Someone just came and brought them all these pawpaws, and they actually did a beer with them.
Cool.
But I was just like, they're just like, again, like these are just probably fruits that grow in these people's yards and they die. they grow and die, and nothing was done with it. But after the guy said he'll probably never make a pawpaw cider again, because he said all the work that it went into it, I was like, yeah, until someone actually presses that juice already, I probably won't try it either.
Yeah,
he said it took like 8 hours of labor, so.
Yeah, mushy and kind of like pressing pears.
And he said something, the skin is toxic too, so he had to be careful. You had to be careful with that. And I was like, yeah.
Well, you got enough on your plate right now. So when can we expect Dope to be open?
We're looking at April. If everything moves right, hopefully.
That's exciting.
Yeah, so it's exciting and terrifying and everything all at once. So it's like, it's actually, I knew this time would eventually come, and I've just been going with the pace of all the different setbacks that we've had. Mm-hmm. So now it's like a reality, and that's why I'm so like thankful for, you know, this space here, being able to come to CiderCon, because the networking that I've done in less than 24 hours already has been amazing. And then again, like the instant, like people are like, hey, make sure you reach out to me if you have any questions, like, and just picking people's brains. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted to do. That was like my goal, to come here to, you know, pick everybody's brains, like, so to speak. And
so can I just stop you though? So you didn't know about CiderCon. You didn't know about CiderCon. And didn't even know what's going on until you like.
I was on Spotify and I just typed in cider.
Oh, cool.
And your cider podcast came up. Nice. And it came up. And so then I was looking and I was like, oh, this is some good interviews and content and stuff. So I just started listening. And then one of your sections, it was like,
going to CiderCon.
It was all CiderCon.
Yeah.
And it was like, and I was like, oh, I felt like I was there. Because I was like, oh, that's some good information. And so I kept going back. And I believe I listened to, again, I want to say it was 2019. I think I was, I basically, if I would say anything, I was at CiderCon 2019 via your
that's awesome. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you kind of touched base and now you have this network and it's only going to grow. I know you want to get to a session, but I really want to talk about your branding, which is so freaking cool. So Dope means dwell on positive energy.
Yes.
I just have to say, I used to be part of a band called The Bone, which was called Beware of Negative Energy.
Just beware. Yes.
But dwell on positive energy is just a much better spin on it. You know, it's keeping it in the positive. So, How do you do that? How do you stay and what has allowed you, Hannah, to be able to dwell on positive energy in a world, especially, you know, some of the hard stuff that we've seen in our country more as lately, and you know.
Yeah, I think like for me, it's just like even situations that I go through personally. You know, you always tell someone will tell you, or you tell yourself, it could be worse. It could be this. And I just learned, like, after, like, you know, everyone, I feel like everyone has some sort of battle or something with depression. And at one point in my life, I went through, like, a very set area that I felt like I was just in a dark place. Like, I, in a sense, like, kind of, like, kept myself away from family, from friends, and things like that. And it just, how it made you feel, it just wasn't that. So once I like snapped out of that funk and like, you know, basically took my life back, I told myself I just wouldn't do that. Like, so it's just like I learned, I think I got you felt my energy, I feel your energy, and I feel like I feel people's energies, and I feel like if that vibe is off, it's like I don't want to be around it, because it changes. You can sense it, and it changes you in a sense.
Right.
So it's just like the people that I hang around is like, it's just all positive. And it can be, we could be going through some bad stuff, but when we come together as a unit, as friends, as family, it's like it makes everything right. We reset ourselves in a sense. And so that's what's just what I do. Like, it's like, I just know how I felt when I was in that dark space, and I know I never want to go back. And if I could help someone who's in that space where I was to come out like that, I try to keep that energy mm-hmm. and keep that energy positive. Mm-hmm. And that's why I tell people, I just want my space when you come into dope, it's like, I mean, you gotta leave at some point, but if you didn't want to, you know, it wouldn't mind. But
you're giving everybody a reason to go to Youngstown right now. Everybody's like, please, when's the next flight?
Please come. So,
after April.
Yeah, but then, so I just want people to, again, like, I don't joke, but I'm serious. Like, I want you to feel like, I always sense home. It's like, especially like when I go over to my aunt's house, it's always like, hey, my family was born and raised in the South. So it's like, hey, come in. Are you hungry? You want something to eat? I'll make you something. Like, she come in. I'm like, I'm 39 years old. I'll come in and she's making cream of wheat. She'll make my cream of wheat. She'll make the pot. She'll make my bowl. She'll put the right amount of sugar in there.
Oh my goodness. She'll do that.
She'll set you up. And I just like, again, like I want people to feel that comfort and that happiness. You know, that's my happy place. Like that's where like my mom goes. Like my mom's a baby sister. That's her happy place too. Like, and I want people to feel that as well and to be able to experience that. But yeah, so it's just like, it's kind of just like a support system and everything. And that's like how like my logos are. Like my logo, my original dope logo is shaped like a heart. My cider logo has a heart in it instead of the O for dope. It's a heart because everything I do is from the heart and mm-hmm. is truly genuine. And so again, like this is a passion that I love and mm-hmm. I just want to share it. And mm-hmm. again, like I said, if I can help someone to come out of that space or that dark space, even if it's momentarily, and they can see the difference and feel the difference, then I definitely like that's my goal.
Yeah, to have that. You're on mm-hmm. the sweet spot there.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a great branding. You know, mm-hmm. you really got the branding going on, and I think that the fact that you're able to keep both, you know, eyes on the prize. One mm-hmm. is the production setting that up, but you've been pushing the branding mm-hmm. all along, and that's what I was like, whoa, what's going on over here? Who is this person? What? I'm seeing this like, you know, hard. I'm like, yeah, okay, I like you.
Yeah.
And you know, so you like pulled me off the street on that because you were doing your branding mm-hmm. and setting that up. And that is really key to success, isn't it? You can't just be just, you know, you could be the greatest cider maker in the world, mm-hmm. but if you don't know how to sell it, you're going to be drinking it alone.
Yeah, it's definitely, like I said, it has definitely paid off. Again, it's just like, and it wasn't using it as like a commercial or scheme. This is truly, mm-hmm. you pretty much, you know, you have people, like I've been talking to people too about branding and my social media page, because my social media page is a mixture of business and my personal mm-hmm. as well mixed into one. I was like, should it just be business focused? But I don't know, you're gonna get me. You're gonna see it all. You're gonna see me goofing off with my friends, like you're gonna see me like, you know, down and dirty, like working. So it's like you're gonna.
We're looking forward to seeing you out there cutting the ribbon or whatever you're gonna do to celebrate. That's what we're all gonna be looking out for come April or whenever.
Yes.
You know, we won't hold you to anything. But I really appreciate you taking time.
I appreciate you for asking. When you reached out to me, I was like, wow, she knows who I am. That's the first thing I said. I was like, when I saw the email, I was like in shock. I was like, of course I will sit down and do this.
I'm honored. I feel privileged that you accepted my invitation. So, you know, it goes back and forth.
Thank you.
And I look forward to hearing as you grow and coming out to Youngstown and seeing what's happening.
Thank you. Yeah, you have to come to Ohio.
Well, you're giving me a reason to come to Ohio.
Yes.
And I thank you for that.
Yes.
And so does all the Ohioans. All right, cool.
From all accounts, it looks like Hannah Ferguson will be opening up that cidery sooner than later. Isn't it amazing how all of us have been kind of stuck in this little bubble the past couple of years? She was waiting for her equipment. It's sitting out on a boat out on the West Coast, and then the trucks were a problem to get it. I mean, you know, we could all relate to that. And if you don't know, the Flea is called the Youngstown Flea. It's a flea market, and that's right next door to Penguin Brewing and the Dope Cider House and Winery. Lots of reasons to head to Youngstown, Ohio. So I will see you there. And with that, I leave you here. This is Rhea Wincoller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
We like cider. We like palms. We love orchards and having fun. There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh, yes, there is. There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider. We like palms. We like orchards. Having some fun.
There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this. Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason.
We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Oh yes, we do.
We like palms.
Oh yes, we do.
We love orchards, having some fun.
There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum. Ba-da-da-dum.
We like walking down the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet,
oh yeah.
We like cider.
Ba-da-da-dum.
We like palms.
Oh yes, we do.
We like orchards, having some fun.
Yeehaw!